want to welcome you to the radio ministry of Church of the Promise in Iway, Louisiana, with Pastors Dwayne and Cindy Daigle. We're a non-denominational Bible teaching ministry with a passion to help God's people find their place in the kingdom of God. We want you to know that your life counts and that God wants to give you a hope and a future. We trust that you'll be both blessed and challenged by today's message. Here is Pastor Daigle.
The title of this message is Shine On, Part 2. We pray this is a blessing to your life.
Can I tell you that the whole reason you and I exist on this earth right now, the whole reason God didn't just kill us when we first got saved and take us to heaven to keep us from having a chance to backslide, is because His intention was for us to shine. His intention was for us to be the light of the world. We are here for a reason. You exist for a reason. You are here because God deposited something in you that could make a difference in the lives of those who are absolutely trapped in the darkness and don't know how to get out. That's why we're here. We said last week, you know, Jesus gave us several things that He commanded, and the scripture says in the Great Commission, He said to go and make disciples and, you know, preach the gospel to them, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then He said, teaching them to obey all the things that I've commanded. And so the things that Jesus said and taught to His disciples, how many of you would agree are pretty important? And if we're going to be disciples, then we need to hear those things ourselves, not just hear them, but demonstrate and live them before the world, because that's really what it means to be light. And so to shine, if we're going to shine, it's because we're doing the things that Jesus said. And so remember, we talked about the fact that Jesus said that He would make us fishers of men. And when people fished back in that day, they didn't have a fancy rod and reel and a fancy lure. They had a net and they had light. And when they fished with light. They put the light out there. The fish would come to the light. Then they'd throw the net out there. And, you know, I've heard it said in some church growth stuff that I've heard over the years. You know, one of the things they always tell churches is you need to find out who your target audience is. And you go after your target audience. And that's what you need to do. Jesus didn't have a target audience. Jesus just threw the net out there and He got all kind of fish. Amen. I couldn't care less about a target audience. My target audience is humanity. Amen. And so we shine the light. The light draws people, even if it's only out of curiosity. And then the net of the word, the preaching of the word, brings them in. And so, by the way, I want to say there's something very special about this church. There's something very different. Whether you realize it or not, there's an incredible, special anointing and calling upon this church and every person that is a part of this church. I'm not saying that to try to, you know, plug myself in any way, but it's rare. It's very rare. When we have guest speakers come in, people that have traveled all over the nation preaching the gospel, they've told us over and over again, even Pastor David Cook says, man, there's something special about that place. And what it is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It's His presence. We don't ever want to lose that, right? But if you really believe in what's going on here, if you really believe in the word that comes from this pulpit, if you really believe in the people experiencing the power and the manifestation of the Spirit that we often have here, then listen, if you really believe that, do everything you can to get people over here to experience it. Listen, Jesus' only church growth plan was you go let your light shine. You go be the real deal out there and then watch what happens, because people are going to want what you want. Amen. And so again, He told us we'd be fishers of men. And he tells us in John 9:5, He says, look, while I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. But then He tells us in Matthew 5:14 and 15, He says, but now you are the light of the world. I'm commissioning you. You be the light of the world. And by the way, don't hide that light. Don't cover the light. Don't try to be one of these undercover Christians who just, you don't want to offend anybody. So you're not going to let your light shine. Don't do that. He gave you light to let it shine. And so we talked about a couple of weeks ago here, the fact that God had given us the commission that he gave to Adam in the garden. And when Jesus came, he recommissioned us to do what Adam failed to do, to spread the knowledge of the glory of God across the earth, all over the earth. And we said, there are three questions we have to ask. Who did Jesus reach out to with his message? How did he do it? And what instructions did he pass on to us on the subject? And we just kind of touched on that, that he let the light shine. He reached out to those who were in the darkness, who needed the light, and he simply let the light shine. What did he do? He said, I do whatever I see my Father do. I say whatever I hear my Father say. And so he told us now to go and do the same thing. In this world, we are as he is, the Bible tells us. That's not a prideful thing to say. That's a recognition that we are the body of Christ on this earth. And so you have something very, very special here. And I want to tell you, I feel so sorry for people. I feel sorry for religious people who never experienced the presence of God. They may go to church Sunday after Sunday, but it's just a religious thing that they're doing, and God is not real to them. And so we talked about last week this fact that there's three main things in this message that we need to understand that if we're going to let our light shine, need to happen. Number one is this, the willingness to get out of our own little world causes us to shine on. You know, I talked about this pretty extensively. Man, look, we have to first make the decision. You know, first Jesus said, look, you need to repent, you need to make the decision to follow me. And then you're going to need to have to make the choice to rejoice, because when you make the decision to follow me, not everybody's going to like it. And not everybody's going to treat you well, right? They hated me. They're going to hate you. So you got to choose to rejoice and not be bound by or led by your feelings, which will keep you on a roller coaster ride all the time. Okay. But then he says, now I need you to let your light shine. Well, why does he have to tell us to let our light shine? Because he knows there's going to be the temptation to cover it up, to hide it, because we don't want the consequences of those who are in the darkness getting upset at us because they don't like our light. It's like the guy going in a cave where a hibernating bear is and shining a spotlight in his eyes. He may not like that a whole lot, right? And sometimes it feels like that. I've heard Christian after Christian tell me, well, you know, I just don't want to offend anybody. Jesus offended lots of people. Now, it wasn't on purpose where he was just being obnoxious and trying to offend, but it's that he was not going to back up. He was going to speak the truth that could set people free no matter what, and he wasn't going to change the way he lives based on what other people feel or think in the moment. He was going to be who God commissioned him to be 24/7. And so, but we got to make up our mind to get out of our own little world. And I said it, I'm just like anybody else. I can get caught up in my own little world to where I'm not thinking about people. I don't have a burden about other people because I'm so caught up in my own little world. Right? And until we make the decision that God, I'm here because you put me here, I'm going to fulfill the purpose and the plan you have for me. No matter what age I am going to fulfill that purpose and the plan. And I refuse to just get caught up in my own little world, feeling sorry for me, only thinking about me. It's like when people say, well, you know, I don't need much money. I just want enough just to kind of to pay my bills and to take care of me and mine. I like what Pastor Mike Miele says. He says, you selfish thing. You so selfish. You couldn't care less about anybody else. You only want enough to take care of you. But what about the fact that God sometimes wants you to give to others and bless others and help others? And if all you got is lint in your pocket, you can't do that, right? Okay, now we're talking about simply financial. But that goes on to every other area of our life. I don't want just enough for me. I don't want just enough the power of the Holy Spirit just to take care of me. I want enough to where I can go out and do what he told me to do, right? I want enough to where I can go lay hands on that sick person and see him recover and cast that devil out of that person that is bound by some kind of demonic oppression. And so we got to be willing to get out of our own little world. If we're willing to do that, then we can shine on like he wants us to shine. And so no matter where we are, whether it's at the grocery store, whether it's at school, if someone's in school, if it's on the job, wherever it is. And by the way, let me just throw this out there. If you're on the job and you're a Christian and you want to witness to people on the job, then make sure you become the best employee on the job. You work harder than anybody. You do better work, quality work. You care about the company you work for. You set that kind of an example, because if you're not doing that, then you're setting a terrible example as a witness for Jesus Christ. So you be the best employee you can be. And when you're supposed to be working, work. Don't be out there talking to people and saying, oh, but I'm doing the Lord's work. Well, yeah, but you're being paid to work for these other people. Do that work, honor them, and then show that example. It's going to open up the opportunity for you to actually witness to people about the gospel. Okay. And I just think it's important to say that, because some people in their ignorance think that, well, I don't have to do those things. I'm just going to preach to people. Well, then you better believe for a supernatural finance coming in, because it ain't going to come from that boss. They're going to fire you. Right. All right. We have to be willing to get out of our own little world. Number two is this. Our lifestyle causes us to shine on. We are fooling ourselves if we think that we are shining, but yet our lifestyle says something totally opposite of what the scripture describes as the Christian life. Okay. So our lifestyle should be a light. And that means that it displays the character of Christ. So our lifestyle, what you see on the outside, is what I really am on the inside. Everybody understand that? If all you see is, you know, chaos and confusion and lust and indulgence and all kinds of, if you see that on the outside, no matter how religious I sound at church, that's what's on the inside. Okay. And so in this teaching, Jesus states that his followers should be the light of the world. In fact, again, Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds. Everybody say good deeds. What does that mean, good deeds? It means I do good stuff, right? I do good for people. Now, you can't do good to save yourself, but if you are saved, then you're going to do good, right? And so let your good deeds shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. By the way, it's really important. He says in the context here that these are good deeds that cause people to praise heaven, not praise you. If I'm only doing good deeds so I can get people to talk about what a wonderful person I am, then I'm not as wonderful as I think I am. That's why Jesus spent a lot of time exposing the Pharisees and called them a bunch of hypocrites and snakes and, you know, vipers and whitewashed graves and all kinds of stuff. He said, you look good on the outside, but you're full of dead men's bones on the inside. So he's saying, make sure that you let your light shine before men. And let your good deeds be seen by them, and may those good deeds bring praise to the Father. But also, in this same sermon, it's kind of interesting, Jesus also says these same words in Matthew 6:1. It says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness, good deeds, before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So that's what I'm talking about here. These two verses, if you're not really looking at them in their context, you could think that they're really contradicting each other. It's like, which one is it, Jesus? Do you want me to let my good deeds show before men, or do you want me to not let good deeds show before men? But you got to look at it in the context. And so when Jesus states, let your light shine before men, and then he goes on to talk about and teach about things like adultery and murder and taking oaths and how we should treat our enemies. He talks about all that, and he commands that not only should we not commit murder, which is in the law that Moses commanded, but also that we shouldn't even hold a grudge, right? Because he said, if you hate somebody, you've already committed murder in your heart. He says not only that we should not commit adultery, but we shouldn't even entertain the lustful thoughts, because if we've entertained those thoughts, if we are lusting, then we are already committing adultery in our heart. The law of Moses had said that they should love their neighbors. Well, the Jewish people in their society in this day, they thought the neighbor meant somebody close to you, somebody that you know and you like, and they would call them a neighbor. But They weren't thinking that Jesus was talking about the enemy. And then Jesus tells them, love your enemies. Love the ones who persecute you. All of these things we've said many times, these are not natural. These are supernatural things. You can't do this stuff in the natural. You make the choice to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, right? So Jesus tells us to do all those things, but those things are not possible without yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit and allowing Him to shape our character. The character to do all of these things Jesus told us to do is provided by the Holy Spirit if we'll yield. So Jesus tells them love and to pray for those who persecute you. In chapter 6, when Jesus says, don't let your deeds be seen by men, He's warning against giving and praying and fasting and doing religious things specifically so that people can see them. And it's clear when Jesus is talking about our light shining before men, He's talking about our characters reflecting that of Christ. You know, I purposely chose this picture as a background because, as Brother Mike said, you know, we are the lights of the world, but we are not the originator of the light. We are reflectors of the light. And just like the moon is considered, in fact, it's called a light in the sky, right? And so we are much like the moon in that we reflect the glory of the Lord. He's the original source of light. And the closer we get to Him, the brighter the light shines on us. Now, how many of you have ever gone outside during a good, bright, super moon type of night? I mean, you can see everything. In fact, they say when you go fishing, especially, you know, saltwater fishing, if you ever go fishing, it's not good to go fishing after a really bright moon, a full moon where it's bright. Why? Because it's lighting everything up and the fish eat all night. So by the time you show up over there, yeah, they don't want your old bait, right? But for us, we are like the moon in that we reflect the light. And here it is. We can be as bright as we want to be, or we can be as dim as we want to be, depending on how close we want to be living to Christ. How many of you know He wants that light to shine bright? And so we see things. People will see that light shining in us through the character of Christ in us. And part of that is, you know, for instance, generosity, just being a generous person. You know, I was talking about Micah here. I'm proud of all my sons, proud in a good way, not just my sons, but my daughter as well. I'm blessed. I'm so blessed by the kids that God has given me. But one of the things I hear about Micah all the time that people talk about is the fact that he is a very generous person. He's generous sometimes to a fault. He's generous. He's not looking for the glory of man. He's just a faithful servant. And the thing is, Micah doesn't have to preach at you to get you to see it. I've seen people whose lives were changed just because they worked around him, just hanging out with him. Why? Because of the character of Christ that's showing forth without him ever getting behind a pulpit and preaching. So if our character is truly generous, then we'll be automatically generous when the Lord opens a door and says to do it, to be a giver of some kind, whether it's of money or time or effort or whatever. And so, again, I've seen people over and over again, somebody will, you know, break down. Micah's the first one to go try to see about him. You know, something will be broken. He'll be over there trying to fix it. One night, I got all over him because he picked a young man up walking down the road late at night and brought him into a pretty tough neighborhood. And the guy ended up stealing his phone and all that kind of stuff. And I said, Micah, you don't do that. You don't do that. He said, well, I felt sorry for the guy. I just wanted to help him. I mean, we can sometimes be generous to a fault, but the reason he's so generous is because that's his character. That's the Holy Spirit inside. Okay. And I'm not saying that nobody else in here is generous. You probably are all that way. I don't know, but I see that shining in his life. And I've heard people say that over and over again about him. So listen, people will see the character in us, even if we just give in secret. You know, the Pharisees were putting it out there because they wanted everybody to see and talk about how wonderful they were. But Jesus said, don't be that kind of person. Just be a genuine person and follow my leading. And people will see that character and people will come to it. So Sometimes we can analyze everything and we could say, well, you know, I just, man, we need to have a workshop on how to win the lost, how to evangelize people, so on and so forth. And there's something to learning how to do some things and some techniques and whatever. But can I tell you, if you'll just let the Holy Spirit live big in you, you don't need a workshop. The Holy Spirit will teach you whatever you need to know. And you just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. He'll put you in a place where people will receive and he'll give you the words to say. He'll have you saying things you didn't even intend to say, because it just becomes a part of who you are, you know, so you can let your light shine. You'll find yourself many times doing things you never thought you could do. You don't have to have somebody tell you all the details, because then it just becomes some kind of a mechanical thing you're trying to accomplish in the flesh. All right. So John 5:19, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So I want to ask the question, what was Jesus trying to demonstrate when he took the bread and the fish and he fed the 5,000? What was he demonstrating there? There's several things here. A lot of revelation I've gotten out of that particular teaching and that particular account. That really did happen. Jesus fed 5,000 men with women and children. So we don't know. It could have been as much as 15 or 20,000. We don't know. But with just little bit of fish and a little bit of bread, what was he teaching there? Well, you might be able to come up with a lot of different things. Is it possible that he was demonstrating that God is able to supply all our needs through that? Absolutely. Absolutely. But maybe Jesus was performing the miracle as a symbol to show, just as God had provided manna for the Israelites, because remember, he's dealing with Jewish people here. Just as God had provided supernaturally for the Israelites in the wilderness, that he's doing the same here, so they might be able to get a clue that Jesus is God, right? Or maybe Jesus was showing how he's the bread of life, as the scripture says, and how his broken body would eventually touch the lives of many people. Maybe that's one of the lessons. Maybe when he had the 12 apostles or 12 disciples, remember when it was all said and done, the people ate everything they wanted to eat. He said, go pick up those baskets. And they came back with how many baskets? 12 baskets full. Maybe one of the lessons was that he was teaching them that if you're going to serve me, if you're going to work with me, if you're going to follow me, you'll never be without. I'll make sure you're taken care of. Maybe that's one of the lessons. I believe it is. Or maybe he was teaching his disciples that nothing should be wasted, because he's not a wasteful God, and that nothing should be wasted. And maybe that it's because everything he was teaching and bringing to them as the bread of life, he wanted to make sure, as we say often, nothing was left on the table, because he came to bring to us salvation and healing and all these things. He don't want any of it left on the table. Maybe that's one of the lessons. Or maybe he was trying to teach his disciples a lesson in faith for the supernatural in absolute impossible situations. All of those things apply. All of these would be legitimate answers and great revelation as to what that miracle says about Jesus. I don't think any of them really describe the root reason that Jesus performed the miracle. The root reason Jesus performed the miracle is because he had the same heart the Father had, the same compassion and love for people that the Father had, and he saw that in the Spirit God was already doing it, and he heard in the Spirit what God was saying to do, and he did it because he had love and compassion for people. I mean, he proved it out. He went all the way to the cross to prove it out, right? But listen, there were thousands of hungry people who needed feeding, and he loved them like the Father loved them. And it says in Matthew, it actually tells us he had compassion on them. Jesus performed this miracle because it was part of his character, and he knew it was the will of the Father. So the things that the miracle symbolize are the result of Jesus' character. They're not the reason as to why Jesus performed the miracle in the first place. They literally are the result of his character. And that same character can reside in us through the Holy Spirit. And so what does it really mean to live supernaturally? Well, here's the easy answer. Living supernaturally means you do what the Father does. You do what Jesus did. You say what you hear him say. That is living supernaturally. When you do that, because sometimes what you'll hear the Father say is he'll say something that in the natural looks absolutely impossible. And then when you say it out of your lips and you come into agreement with the Father, all of a sudden a door opens up. Something happens in a supernatural way and you see the miraculous. That's why I always say when we're talking about praying, we got to stop asking God to do what he told us to do. He didn't tell us to go find sick people and ask him to heal them. He said, go find them and heal them by the authority I've given you. It's important to get that. It really is. So we got to stop trying to get him to do what he wants us to do by his authority that he's already given us. And so when we see this, people will see the Christ-like actions in our life. And you know what? Without us having to worry about, boy, I hope I do the right thing or say the right thing and come up with a way so we can get them in. I've heard preachers stand behind pulpits and say, you know, we got to have the right kind of lure. And I'm just trying to throw the lure out there. Well, he didn't tell us to throw a lure. He told us to throw a net. And when we throw the net, we get all kind of fish, no matter what kind of fish they are. We throw the net of his word and we bring the fish in and then we let God clean them through the Holy Spirit. All right. So Jesus tried to perform a lot of miracles in secret, but people couldn't help but spread the word about him, right? How many times did Jesus say he performed a miracle? He said, now don't go tell anybody about this. And they couldn't help themselves. I mean, they just had to go tell anybody who would listen, right? Because how do you keep something like that a secret? Well, Jesus wanted to make sure that his life was glorifying the Father. He was setting an example for us. Although he was God, he was setting an example for us in humility. And so there's one thing I just can't stand is self-promotion. I can't stand that. I don't know how preachers can do this with, you know, just always promoting self. I mean, I can't stand that. D.L. Moody said, look, I don't want people to leave a meeting talking about what a wonderful preacher I am. I want them to leave the meeting talking about what a wonderful Jesus we serve. Amen. And so he spent many hours seeking and praying, seeking fellowship with the Father. And the more we do that, the more of our character becomes more like Christ. In other words, the closer to the sun we get, the brighter we shine. Amen. And if we want to win those around us to Christ, then we need to spend less time worrying about our actions in the sense of trying to figure out how to do it and spend more time seeking Christ-like character. And then it will just begin to happen. And so that light, by the way, the light in our life should always light up the cross, because it's the cross that's going to bring people. It's the cross that's going to bring people to life, to eternal life. It's the cross. So it shouldn't be lighting up our good deeds. It should be lighting up his good deeds. Number three, speaking with authority causes us to shine on. Speaking with authority. What does that mean? When Jesus had finished his sermon, it says that people recognized that Jesus spoke with authority. In Matthew 7, 28 and 29, it says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. You know why the teachers of the law couldn't speak with authority? Because they didn't really have it. They didn't have an experience with God. They didn't have a relationship with God, so they couldn't operate in his authority. They couldn't say with absolute confidence that they know this is what God says. Amen? Because they didn't have that. So what was Jesus doing different? Well, when Jesus is given this particular sermon, it doesn't appear that he performed any miracles to go along with the sermon. There doesn't appear to have been a sign from heaven like whenever he was baptized and the dove came and rested upon him and all that. Didn't have any of that going on. It just simply was based in the power of the words that were coming out of his mouth. So what was the difference between Jesus and the Pharisees, who were religious leaders and the people were used to listening to? Again, I believe it's because Jesus knew who he was and he lived out what he spoke, and they saw it. The Pharisees said one thing, but they did another. Jesus lived what he spoke. It's one of the things I've said about Brother Holton many times. The man lived what he preached. Amen. Now, how many of you ever gone, maybe, I don't know, you've been to some kind of business or something, and maybe there was a new hire, and they were, I don't know, maybe it was a vacuum salesman or something, or maybe a car salesman, but they were a new hire, and you could tell they don't really know the product. they don't really, you know, they don't really know it. They're just saying what they were told to say. How many have ever experienced something like that? And you know the difference. And they're not real convincing because they don't, if you got questions, they don't know the answers. All they know is what they were told to say. Right. And then if you get to something they don't know, they say, well, let me go talk to the sales manager or something like that. Right. But when you get a hold of a salesman that knows the product and they believe in the product and they're excited about the product. In fact, they believe in it so much they got one for themselves and they love it. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's an effective salesperson. Right. And it's the same with us. Look, you can try to just take on some religious jargon and say some things that you heard somebody else say. But if you don't know it for yourself, if it's not on the inside of you, you ain't convincing nobody. You can't speak with authority if you don't know him. And so that gave him great authority. And the people noticed there's a difference between him and all these religious leaders that we've been listening to all these years. And so Jesus tried to set people free with what he spoke. The Pharisees just held them captive with all of their teachings. There's a difference. You know, I've preached many sermons over the years. I don't have a clue how many, but a whole bunch. But I've discovered that people in this world don't respond in repentance to just somebody debating with them over religion. What they respond to is when someone is speaking in authority because they know what they're talking about. And I'm not talking about being able to quote a bunch of scripture, but because they live this thing is real within them. And so, but I've discovered that, you know, arguing with people, I always tell people, don't fall into that trap. Don't argue about religion. Don't fall into that. And believe me, it's very tempting to get sucked into that, especially when you know something. But here's the thing we got to understand. When we step out of the spirit and just saying what we hear the Father saying, and we get into our own mind, in other words, the own soulish realm, the mind, will, and emotions, and we step out of the spirit into that, and we start arguing religion and arguing and debating over theological issues, even if you out-debate them, even if you win, you haven't won. You may have won the argument, but you didn't win that person to Christ. And not only have you not won them to Christ, but you may have pushed them further away from Christ because now they're offended and they're hurt because maybe you made them look stupid. So you might win the argument, but you lost the person. And so you've actually lost. So we don't get into debates. I've never seen anything good come out of people arguing over religion, but I've seen something good come out of, look, I don't know all your belief systems and all I know is what he did in my life and it is real. And this is what I've discovered, and I'd love to share it with you because I want you to experience the same Jesus I've experienced. Don't get out of the spirit and into the soulless realm and think you're doing anything for eternity. Sometimes when people are debating, they're used to people trying to persuade them or trying to persuade people to think a certain way, so on and so forth. But we just cannot do that. Only the Father can draw a person. And the way he draws them is through us. When I say, Father, draw people to yourself, because the scripture says no one comes to the Father except they're drawn by the Spirit. When I say, draw people to yourself, he says, well, then go let your light shine. And as your light shines, it's going to draw people to me. The way he draws people to himself is not some mystical thing up in the sky that we can't see. No, he does it through his people who are anointed by the Holy Spirit, who have the glory of God shining in their life. That's how he does it. Now understand, not everybody's gonna like it. But if there's anybody, whosoever has an opportunity that can come to Christ, you're the key to that. You're the bridge for that. You are the light that's gonna shine on the cross that's going to lead them in the right direction. If you don't understand that you live and you breathe to make that happen for people, then you are gonna miss the purpose of your life. And so again, it's not about trying to persuade somebody in the brain. It's allowing the light to shine through the Spirit. Okay? Those really looking for answers want to see something that's real. They want to see a changed life. Don't tell me, well, you know, you really need to get off them drugs or you really need to get off that alcohol or whatever else it is that you do. Don't tell me that, but you yourself are doing the same thing. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and said, you tell the people all the time, don't do this, don't do that. But you're doing the same thing. Matthew 7, judge not lest ye be judged, because the same judgment that you're putting on other people is going to be held against you. That doesn't mean you shouldn't make a judgment. It just means clean your life up first, because he said, look, don't try to take the little speck out of their eye with the big old log in your eye. But he said, first take the log out of your eye, repent, so that you can see, clearly see, to help them get the speck out of their eye. So it's not that he doesn't want us to help them get the speck out of their eye. It's because it's just that he wants us to get it, the things out of our eyes first. All right. So again, when people see that you're different, that's when you can speak with authority in their lives. You know, I've said this before, but when I worked in the plants, one of the things that I heard all the time, I didn't go around preaching at people. I didn't go around telling people they were going to go to hell if they didn't repent. I didn't do that. I let the light shine and people would come to me. And when an opportunity would open up, a conversation would open up, when I knew there was a relationship where I could do that, then we would open up with that conversation. But usually it started with somebody saying, man, something's different about you. Because I would never go on a job and tell people I was a pastor. Just wouldn't do it. Because if I did, then they'd start trying to act different and I wouldn't get to know who they really were. Right? So, but they would say, something's different about you. And the only thing I could figure is, well, you know, I wasn't cussing like the rest and I wasn't telling dirty stories and laughing at the dirty stories and all that like the rest. They knew something was different, but they also saw that I loved people, that I cared about people. And so again, we do preach the gospel as God gives us the opportunity, but it must be done out of a motivation of love. Now, again, when you live it, you can speak it with authority. You can speak with real power and authority about the things that God has done in your life because you know those things. Amen? All right. So everybody here has a testimony. If you've surrendered your life to Christ, you have a testimony. And nobody can take that testimony from you. They may want to argue religion with you. They may want to argue theology and scripture with you. You say, look, I'm not going to get into all that, but let me just tell you what Jesus has done for me. That'll do more for them than anything else to get that thing started. All right. So in conclusion, I'm going to put out a challenge. First, take the time. Ask people, what do you know about Jesus? Look for the opportunity. What do you know about Jesus? What, you know, do you know what the scripture says? Do you believe in the scripture? You know, take the time, look for an opening to be able to get into their life without being forceful. Okay. And without being obnoxious. Find out where they are and then share what you know with them. You say, but I just don't know a lot. Well, you know enough to get you saved. So that should be enough to get them saved. So it may lead to an opportunity to really witness to a person. And then second, spend time daily with the Father. Ask him to reveal his heart to you. Man, listen, I want to know what the Father's heart is. If I don't know what the Father's heart is, if I can't see what he's doing and hear what he's saying, then I can't live my life with kingdom authority. Ask him to reveal that to you. And not only about yourself, but ask him to reveal what he knows about others. Ask him to reveal, ask him to use the supernatural gifts of the Spirit to open up doors like Jesus with the woman at the well. You know, God reveals something about that person. There's no way you could have known. You talk about get their attention, right? And so ask him to reveal, Lord, these people you're sending me to, show me some things I need to know to get their attention. Stay close to the sun so that your light can shine brighter and brighter. 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, and we all, everybody say all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory. In other words, the closer we get, the brighter we shine. Amen. Ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. The King James Version says glory to glory. God never wanted for you to stay on the same level of light you're on. He wants the glory to increase in your life. He wants the fruit to increase in your life. All right. And then the third thing is ask yourself, can I really speak with authority? Can I really speak with authority? And when we step out in faith and we start to put the Bible into action in our daily lives, because when we do that, understand that is when you will begin to speak with authority. So do we do that? And do we need to change some things right now? Have we gotten wrapped up in our own little world? Is everything about me right now? am I truly allowing the light to shine through me, through the character of Christ in me? And am I really speaking with authority? And again, not everybody's going to like it. Some people are going to respond to you in a negative way. Don't let that make you stop shining the light. Don't let anybody make you put, you know, hide it under a bushel, right? What's the old song say? Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. Amen. And so who knows, as you continue to pray for people, even the ones that reject the light because they want to stay in the darkness, then as you begin to pray for them, continue to pray for them, you never know, God may open up a way. John 3:19 says this, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. There are some people who don't want to be exposed. They don't want the light anywhere around them. You cannot get discouraged about that. You back up and say, Lord, there's a good target right there. I'm going to pray for that one. I'm going to pray for that one until the darkness begins to dissolve from around them. Amen. And the light begins to invade them. All right. So whatever you do, don't allow offenses to rise up in your heart and harden your heart toward a person. Understand?
Pastors Dwayne and Cindy would like to thank you for joining us today. We trust that your life has been enriched by the Word of God. We want to encourage you to get plugged into a life-giving church in your area. If you'd like to contact us, you may do so at area code 337-582-2090. If you'd like to write to us or send financial support for this program, you may send it to 350 Highway 165, Iway, Louisiana, 70647. You may also email us at cotp@centurytel.net. Church of the Promise is located approximately 10 miles east of Lake Charles and 1/2 mile south of I-10 at exit 44. Our service times are 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. Until next time, remember, you are loved and your life is worth living.